October 7th, 2008. Today brings part two of my two-part audio with Jason Bent covering the Elite XC Heat show from Saturday night. We touched on Kimbo Slice and then the opening fight in yesterday's audio. And today we're getting into the remainder of the show, as well as our thoughts on where Elite XC goes from here, if anywhere at all. So, listen in once again, and thanks for supporting us here on MMATorch.com.
They waste some more time on this show here and take a bunch of big breaks in between these fights. I mean, they're trying to fit five fights into 2 hours, and they're sitting taking 10 to 15 minute breaks in between fights, and it made no sense from a time management standpoint. Gina Carano got interviewed backstage, and she failed to make weight again. You already made the towel comment. She had to strip down to get to the 141, which is a pound over what she was supposed to be contracted to weigh in at. Granted, that is acceptable, and Kelly Cobalt came in at the same thing. But the fact is, I mean, I'm a Carano fan. For women's MMA, I enjoy watching her fight. But if she can't, I mean, if she's got too much stuff going on the outside to really be able to concentrate on making weight, I mean, she's going to have to figure out if there's women at a different weight that want to start fighting her, and she'll have to go up to something because, what is this, 5-6 fights in a row? She's had 7 fights total, and she's failed to make weight in almost all of them. It's unacceptable for a fighter, and it's disrespectful to the other fighters that are coming in and making weight every time. And I mean, she's going to need to reevaluate that. That being said, we get to this fight finally after that long delay, and you know, Carano's got a really, really crisp stand-up game. She's very, very good at picking her spots and laying on punishment when it's necessary. She showed great balance in not allowing Cobalt to get the takedowns that she continued to look for, and held her own on the cage. And, you know, Gina Carano for women's MMA should be the face because she's talented. And, I mean, let's face it, just a lot more attractive than anyone else that's going to be out in there fighting. And that sells. That's the only thing that Elite XC has going for them more.
Yeah, and she hasn't made weight in 5 straight fights. And with the comedy of errors that is Elite XC, when she doesn't even bother to make weight and is clearly disinterested in everything, it shows you how serious everybody takes Elite XC. The athletes don't even really take it that seriously. You know, she knows she's going to be pushed by them, and, you know, irregardless of her making weight, they need her. You know, they'll ask her opponent to, you know, take some pay in exchange for the weight difference. You're not going to get punishment that another fighter would, a male fighter in another, you know, promotion. She's got a crisp stand-up game, like you said. The whole fight was her strikes and Kelly's foot stomp. You know, when the announcers are highlighting, oh, yeah, that really hurts the top of your feet. Look at the color change. Yeah, you know this is a bad night of television for MMA when you're watching the announcers point at the top of the foot to look for a change of color because that's the story behind this fight. It was just awful. It was.
And it's, again, it's the million little things that make Elite XC the redheaded stepchild of the MMA world. That's what's going on right now. They're such a fourth-rate promotion. They continue to just put on laughable aspects of their television production. I mean, Gus Johnson and Frank Shamrock and, you know, the whole crew for Elite XC, they do a decent job. They're just not given much to work with in terms of fights to comment on. I mean, they're not awful. They're not Jay Glazer bad, but they don't have much to work with when it comes to these fights. And them having to point out and actually circle the top of her feet because she's getting foot stomped and point that out the fans at home shows how much was going on in that fight. We get another break in the action, and we get to the third of five fights on the night. The special attraction for Andre Arlovsky to keep himself in shape when he was supposed to fight this coming Saturday instead, as he takes on the former IFL's Roy Nelson. And, you know, again, we're talking about the multitude of things that make Elite XC seem like just a second-rate, third-rate, fourth-rate promotion. And you know what? Roy Nelson is one of them. He looks like a bar fighter. He looks like a Tank Abbott body type. And despite the fact that he is very talented in his ground game and showed it in this fight in the first round, appearances are a lot, especially when you're on national television trying to appeal to a broader audience. People are going to look at that and be like, that's not an athlete. I'm supposed to take this sport seriously. And again, I had him winning the first round. He did a really good job on the ground and controlling Arlovsky's posture and keeping control and passing and, you know, landing a couple shots. He almost had a Kimura locked in, landed some knee strikes from side control, you know, did a lot in the first round, despite it being kind of a boring round. He kept things on the ground and was impressive for a big guy to be able to do that on the ground. You get it back standing in the second round, and Arlovsky just teed off on him for a while, lands a couple of really hard leg kicks that almost break Roy's leg or bust up his knee. He was buckling on a couple of those shots and finally gets caught and goes down, and that was the finish. You know, another KO victory, a TKO victory for Arlovsky.
Yeah, Roy likes food, which of course he had to say before the fight as they profiled him, comparing himself to George Foreman. I don't know about that, but yeah, Roy likes food. The stoppage was not questionable at all. Arlovsky crushed him. You know, great victory for Andre. I mean, Roy's a serviceable fighter. On the ground, very skilled. I had him win the first round as well. The problem I had with the officiating, which seemed to permeate through the evening, was threats of standing the guys up while Roy was, you know, trying for the Kimura. You know, that is advancing your position. That is working. And I don't know if it came from the heads of CBS who, you know, want to keep things standing up, you know, more of an ultimate boxing kind of night, or what it is, or whether it's to benefit certain fighters, we don't know. I mean, Elite is definitely looking very shady. You know, we won't know. Andre clearly won the fight, but I do have a very big problem with the referee, you know, for threatening the stand-ups and when clearly there was plenty going on the ground. As far as Roy's image, yeah, not exactly what you want to put on prime time. You know, nobody really knew who he was anyway, and it just looked like Andre beat the fat guy. That's really all it ends up being. Pitbull, fat guy, next fight.
And, you know, we're not sitting here trying to knock Roy Nelson, because he's clearly got some talent. He's clearly a talented fighter. He's not near Andre Arlovsky's level. And that was proven clearly in that second round, at least with stand-up. And he wasn't able to keep him down long enough to do any more on the ground. But he's got talent. It's just appearances are a lot when you're trying to put something out to the masses and try to expand the base, the fan base. And it's not going to happen with a Roy Nelson fight. That brings us to our final match of the night before the main event. Jake Shields defending his newly won Elite XC welterweight title against Paul Daly. Here's Jake Shields, who has talked about wanting to fight George St. Pierre, talked about wanting to fight top competition. Paul Daly comes in from the Cage Rage promotion, also under the Pro Elite banner, after being another fighter that had taken some time off and coming back into this. And you know what? Daly showed a lot early with his stand-up in the first round. showed why Shields wanted to take it to the ground quickly, because it's very clear that Shields does not have anything remotely resembling heavy hands. And you know what, though? He gets it to the ground, and he's showing, at least against poor competition on the ground, that he's got some really good skill there. He seamlessly moved from guard to side control to mount a couple of times in the first round, got a little overzealous on the arm bar in the first round, and wound up with Daly on top of him, dropping a couple of shots. But, you know, he comes back in round two, goes back to the same game plan, gets Daly down, gets back to that arm bar, pulls it on, and just, that was a nasty, nasty arm bar. Looked like Daly near got his arm pulled out of the socket, almost got his elbow separated because he was trying to fight it. That should have been a much quicker tap from him, because that thing was locked in and wasn't going anywhere. But good victory for Jake Shields, but he's got no competition in the welterweight division in Elite XC. It's very clear. And he's going to, if he seeks competition elsewhere, he very well could get eaten alive by a lot of fighters that are much more talented in the stand-up game.
Yeah, he's definitely a big fish in the small pond. Paul Daly really impressed me with his striking. Shields impressed me with his game plan. You know, obviously he knew he had to get this one to the ground. Went for the arm bar. It failed. He ate some punches. Second round, he got it, locked it in, damn near ripped his arm off, like you said, finished the fight. He stuck to his game plan. He didn't get flustered. As far as any fights for him, there really aren't any. If he would go elsewhere, he would get eaten alive quickly, and he's a nobody if he goes anywhere else. That's the problem with Elite. Elite doesn't make you an elite fighter. In fact, it makes you subpar. Perhaps they could be the subpar extreme combat, you know, company. But at 170 and under the Elite banner, I'd put Jake Shields, Phil Baroni in there. You know, Phil's a name. Phil's at 170. And Phil's a much deadlier striker than Paul Daly, which spells trouble for Shields if it stays on the feet. It's actually moderately compelling, and it's really the only name fight I can see that is possible under the Elite banner or Cage Rage. And other than that, there really isn't anywhere for Jake to go. To jump up and take on Robbie Lawler, forget it. He will get eaten alive in that fight. So 170, I think a Baroni matchup is great for him, but much like every other division in Elite, who cares? They have not established themselves whatsoever, and they haven't established that anybody will even care in the future about them, and it's bad for the fighters. It really is.
Yeah, and it's becoming kind of clear what Elite XC's game plan is for their promotion. They've got a few people that they're trying to protect with the matchmaking that they've had, and that's not so much an accusation as just simply turning out to be a fact. I mean, they didn't want to protect KJ Nunes as champion. They want Nick Diaz to be one of their top guys because, you know what, he's shown in most of his fights that he's a charismatic, violent, outspoken, crazy individual. They want to, they think they can make some money with him. They want stuff to happen with that. KJ Nunes wasn't willing to play ball. They want to protect Gina Carano as much as they possibly can. She's going to be tested against Christiane Cyborg when they get that fight set up. Kimbo Slice, they wanted to protect against Ken Shamrock here. That's what they wanted for this fight this tonight. Paul Daly was a safer bet for Jake Shields. So they're protecting some people very clearly, maybe not intentionally, maybe not as blatant as we're suggesting here. Maybe that's not their intention, but it sure comes off as shady the way that things are turning out in their results and the way things have been booked for them to this point.
Yeah, and as far as KJ Nunes, he had to be sitting at home just laughing hysterically at this. You know, his move appeared to be a classless move. you know, dropping the belt, willing to walk away. But you know what? With Elite XC, perhaps KJ is the classy fighter who's trying to separate himself from the classless promotion. And, you know, this makes sense. They want to put this belt on Nick Diaz so bad, and they want to market his bad boy persona. You know, why not? Elite XC gave me the middle finger on Saturday night, so why not put Nick Diaz out there to give it to us as well? I mean, this whole promotion is just one big middle finger. They may as well have it in the middle of the ring with Jared Shaw pointing at it and saying, eat this. Because, I mean, it's just Kimbo Slice, Gina Carano, and let's protect him forever. I don't see them making the Cyborg fight with Carano. No way. They are going to protect Gina to the end. Especially now, with Kimbo falling down, they cannot afford it. Had Gina lost on Saturday night, I think Jared Shaw would have took a rope to his hotel room and hidden out and, you know, pulled a Michael Hutchins, because it was just bad all over. They're going to protect Gina, and right now, just the whole place is just without class. The belts are absolutely meaningless. They're protecting fighters that, you know, maybe shouldn't even be protected at all. You know, they're protecting something as if it has value when, you know, perhaps it really doesn't have much. Gina does. She is the face of women's MMA. But aside from her, I don't see many redeeming qualities about the promotion. And it's not like they have a huge roster of fighters. You know, IFL, the intellectual properties were sold for, I believe, $600,000 in the fight library. And when Elite XC folds, I think you're going to get a couple of T-shirts, maybe a Kimbo sweatshirt, and a Betamax tape of some of the best highlights, perhaps with an autographed 8x10 from somebody, because there's just nothing there to buy. There is no intellectual property. There's nothing. You know, they'll put the cage on eBay, and like I said, some MySpace MMA group will buy it, and they'll put some fights in it, because this company is just dead in the water.
Well, and you know what? They might not even get a chance to put that Gina Carano, Christiane Cyborg fight together, because they've got, what, one fight left for CBS contracted, which will most likely get dropped once the ratings come in for this special. If it does the numbers that I have a feeling that it'll do, I think it would be a shock if CBS kept them on for one more special. If they want to have MMA, they better go after someone else. I would rather see Affliction throw $8 million at a card to put on CBS than sit through another just absolute disaster of a MMA promotion and MMA show with Elite XC. It's not good television. It's not good fights for the most part. And it just comes off as so third rate, fourth rate, whatever you want to say. They're just not there, and I can't see how they can be in business 6 months from now.
No, I don't see it. And if they do get one more shot on CBS, the CBS logo that sits in the corner, the little bug, the eye is going to be closed because nobody's going to be watching it. I mean, the ratings are going to be abysmal for this effort, and if they get one more, I just don't see what they can do. I mean, possibly they could put Gina against Cyborg, but it's the last show. You know, Rome is burning. Jared Shaw is going to be fiddling around the ring. There's not much you can do. I don't think there is going to be a second act for them. I think this was their big chance, and they may have been able to draw some viewers, and, you know, 25 minutes or even 15 minutes into the broadcast, televisions were being switched off, and there's not going to be another act for this company. I just don't see it. And I would much rather see Affliction, you know, take hold of that opportunity if it is even going to be presented. You know, this might just sully MMA with CBS as well as the major networks. I mean, this could really turn the networks off to the sport, and it is an absolute shame because Elite XC is simply a travesty. I'd much rather see Affliction take that spot if it's going to be offered to anybody.
Well, and of course, if people actually stuck around to watch the whole thing, do you think they're going to tune in for the next show? I mean, they might DVR it and fast forward through it, but if someone actually sat through that entire show that isn't, you know, working on a website to cover it, that isn't commenting on it, that isn't getting paid to see it for some of the websites, If they don't have some vested interest in all things MMA, do you think people are actually going to turn in after sitting through that debacle of a show?
No, nobody's going to tune in for this one. CBS would get better ratings if they just ran some random episode of Survivor, some random rerun of Big Brother. Hell, they could have dead air. Dead air with the eye in the middle of the screen, maybe some music, you know, maybe some holiday kind of music or something. And, yeah, nobody's going to be watching.
More people would have that music on in the background for the holidays, I think.
Yeah, that's true. It could be like music choice. But nobody's going to watch this again. It's just a bad movie, and nobody's going to want to go see the sequel. The sequel has to be straight to video, and that's Elite XD. They're going straight to VHS. DVD is not even an option. They're taking it back to VHS because nobody's tuning in for their next offering.
Well, Jason, we've exhausted and given more time to this show than it maybe even deserved. But thank you once again for joining me on the Daily Audio Update, and we will talk to you again soon.
It's been my pleasure. Take care.